Thank you for listening to the podcast of Faith Baptist Church of Enfield, Connecticut. We hope and pray that these messages from Pastor Gary will be a help to you. You can find out more about our church at www.fbcenfield.com or find us on Facebook. God bless and enjoy the message.
Missions, the hands and feet of Jesus. Think about that for a moment. What does it mean to be the hands and feet of Jesus? Well, I think it means in this text we've read, and it's a pretty interesting text. I'm just going to take it as it is. We're not going to get into some of the theological implications of this text. But to be the hands and feet of Jesus means that we minister to others as though Jesus is ministering to them. We talk about Christ in us, the hope of glory. We talk about when we come to Jesus that the Holy Spirit lives in us. But Jesus is not here on earth. He's here in us. And so he ministers through us. So to be the hands and feet of Jesus means that we are ministering to people as Jesus would. And he kind of even adds something to it, which is amazing. And we'll get into it a little bit. But he's saying, if you minister to this person, you give food to this person who's hungry, he said, it's like you're giving it to me. Think about that for a minute. Think about the implications of that. I've often had this conversation with people. And they'll say, well, if God's love, why does he let people go hungry? And I often ask the person, what have you done personally to help the poor? And oftentimes that conversation ends right there. Because we can look at the world and say, well, there's all these problems and all this poverty, and we love to bemoan the age in which we live. But I can ask you also, what have you done? How have you been the hands and feet of Jesus? The Bible says in Jude 1:22, and of some having compassion, making a difference. In other words, you help somebody that's doubting when you have compassion on them. When a person is hungry, when a person is lonely, when a person is discouraged, when a person is dependent on a substance, maybe you will be the spark. Maybe you will be that person through you that will give that person hope. Because you, present with Jesus in you, can be the hands and feet of Jesus. John develops this in the book of John, but more in 1 John. And very convicting passage is John 3:17 when he says this, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need, and notice the phrase here, and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? And I thought about that, the way he phrased it. He says he shuts up his heart. And I've thought about times that I've shut up my heart. I've thought about times where my focus was on my stuff. And I don't want it to affect me. Or we refuse to see. We live in an isolated society. If you want to see poverty, and there is poverty, and it's a lot of it spiritual poverty, not so much that people are lacking food in our area, but there are people that are lacking food. But there are great people living in great poverty in many ways. But we can isolate ourselves. We cannot. We don't have to see it. We can stay in our homes, our cars, our stores. And a lot of times we shut up our hearts. We don't want to see. We don't want to be bothered with that. We don't want it to bother our conscience, so we stay away from it. And then we can justify ourselves, right? Well, they didn't work hard enough, or they deserve it, or we can be very well, they went to prison, they made the mistake. And we can justify our inaction, if you will. That's always the debate, right? Is it a social or an evangelical gospel? Well, a social gospel without the gospel is not the gospel at all. It's just humanitarian aid. And that's why it's such a blessing we can support Sally, because he's not only giving out food and clothing and help, he's giving the gospel. And he speaks the language and he knows the culture. And so what an opportunity to directly help somebody there. But the true gospel will be demonstrated through good works. Now, we don't work to be saved. We don't work to get the gospel. We understand that the gospel is through the grace of God. We're saved by grace, not by works. But, if we are saved, the Holy Spirit will provoke us to good works. The Holy Spirit will speak to us to help those in need. And the heart is so deceptive that we can be in a church setting and believe the gospel but shut up our hearts to the needs of those around us. It's a dangerous place to be. Very dangerous. And this passage, as we get into this passage, it's funny because we got this passage at the end of the world. It's Jesus on the throne and he's judging the people. And he doesn't say, if you said a prayer, you're on the right hand. Did you repeat this prayer? Don't have confidence that you're saved just because you said a prayer. There has to be some evidence. And so we come to this passage, and the question for us this morning and the emphasis on this message is, are we being present now, the hands and feet of Jesus? So we see the expectation, the execution, the exhaustion, and the exaltation. Expectation. Number one, the expectation. The story starts with an accountant. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and his holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. This is an uncomfortable scene, is it not? Here's Jesus on his throne. Here's Jesus coming in his glory. He's not coming again as a baby. He came as a baby once to die for our sins. Now he's coming in glory to judge us for our sins. So when he comes again, it's going to be in power. This is a spectacular scene. It's a day of accountability. Verse 32, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate. He will separate. He will make a distinction. He will say, there are some saved, and there are some that are not saved. I know we have it ingrained in our culture and our minds as pluralistic, that everybody's going to be saved in the end, and it doesn't matter what you do. But Jesus comes with some expectations, and he's going to have a division, and he says there's going to be some on his right hand and some on his left hand. There's going to be some that are going to go to heaven, and there's some that are not going to go to heaven. The Bible says there's that distinction, that separation. But also shows us that Jesus has some expectations. Do you have expectations in your house for your kids? You just let them do what they want, right? Watch cartoons all night and hear some Fruity Pebbles. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, Fruity Pebbles. Amen. I want to go to your house. By the way, I appreciate everybody this week that helped out with the meals. You guys were awesome. But I have one request. Please don't send desserts. The other night I ate 4 cupcakes. I can't just eat one. Send grapes. Send tasteless health bars, something like that. Don't send pastries, because the kids won't get them. Are there expectations at your job? I've talked to Gary. He's had to fire people. What a mean person. He's so mean, isn't he? Kind of a Christian manager fires people. And then hugs them at the same time, right? Hugs them as they're going out the door. But no, there's some expectations. And we treat religion as though it's like this separate entity of the natural laws of life in society. No, Jesus has some expectations. He has some expectations from you. And we live this Christianity today that I can do whatever I want. And I set the rules. No, you don't set. I don't set the rules. You don't set the rules. Jesus sets the rules. Jesus sets the expectations. And when we set the expectations, it's pretty bad. He sets the expectations for us. So we have the scene and we have the expectations. Number two, the execution. Now, I don't mean capital punishment, okay? But I tried to get everything with an E, so I kind of snuck it in there. But execution. So what does he say? He says, for I was hungry, gave me food. That's something you do. The execution. You didn't just think about it. You didn't just see somebody, oh, I feel bad for them. You actually either gave a gift card or gave money through the church or went out and bought some food and you gave it. I was thirsty. Gave me a drink. I was a stranger. He took me in. I was naked. You clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison. And you came to me. And the righteous asked the question, Lord, we didn't do this to you. What are you talking about? Well, verse 40 gives us the key. And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, in so much as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to who? Me. So remember, when you're dealing with that, that 10-year-old kid in Awana who runs out of class and gets toilet paper all over the bathroom, and you go and bring him into class and you're struggling with him, remember, you're ministering to Jesus. He says, you've done it to me. We're doing it for people. But the idea is that the expectation here is that when we minister to people, we're ministering to Jesus. This is what Christianity is all about. It's not what people have, it's not so much about our, you know, we want to get in right away in a theology. And we have to have the right theology. We have to, Jesus' teaching is very important. But what are they, what's their opinion of Christians? What do they think about Christians? What do they think about you? What have you shown them? Said they provided houses and they provided clothes. They provided food. They visited, they counseled, they touched people with a human touch. They were the hands and feet of Jesus. I remember when I was working with the youth group, Brian Henry, you know, rough relationship with his father, and I can remember seeing him many years later, and he lives down in Mississippi. You still talk to him once in a while, has a good family with six children. Last time I visited him was on furlough. I don't remember, maybe 6 years ago, 5 years ago. But I remember one time when I was home, he was telling me, he came to me and he said, I want to thank you. I'm like, for what? He says, when you helped me move, I didn't even remember. And he said, I want to thank you how patient, because when he was in the youth group, he was he was a struggle. And he says, you just helped me move. I don't know. I think it was like an hour away, and we got a truck, and we moved some stuff. He said, I want to thank you. See, sometimes we think that, oh, I got to preach to millions of people. Sometimes just helping somebody move. Somebody just giving a cup of cold water. Sometimes being calm when you're challenged can make a great difference in somebody's life. When we have young people growing up without fathers, without mothers, without stable homes, when it's bullying at school and difficult stuff going on, I got this text message the other day from Dennis. He lived on our street. Our street in Romania, Dordului, you know, all the houses are connected. And about, I don't know, 100 feet from us, down the street on the left, there was a house of Turkish gypsies. They had three rooms and no plumbing. They had an outhouse in, this is in a city of 350,000 people, and they have an outhouse. They didn't have any plumbing. And they'd go up and they'd send the kids up and down the street all the time to get water. Get water, up and down the street to get water. Of course, my wife is much more compassionate than I am. You probably already know that. Okay, you don't have to be that You don't have to agree with me that much. And of course, come on in. We'll give you water all the time. And I'm like, oh, man. Then at 9 o'clock at night, 9:30 at night, my office had a window right on the street. There'd be a knock at the door. There'd be Bairam. Do you have any pastille? That's aspirin. I get a headache. All right, Bairam, here's a loaf of bread. I was looking for the picture. I couldn't find them because I didn't have time to go through all the pictures. We have thousands of pictures, but I can still see this picture in my head because I had a bunch of kids, and I can still picture this in my head. And I'm sure you guys can. My wife brought them all in the courtyard and gave them all haircuts. Washed their hair, had the hose, washed their hair, gave them all haircuts. One of the boys, every once in a while I'll talk to him on Facebook, and he says, this is what he said. He said, I was raised by your hands. I ate your bread. You taught me to know what's good and to have faith in Jesus Christ and to know our good Father. He says, I'm so glad when you talk to me, it makes me very happy. And I went into any great thing, but it's just being the hands and feet of Jesus. That's him. He's in Turkey with his family. The execution. There's the expectation, but sometimes there's like this big valley between the expectation and the execution. Good intentions mean nothing. And then we have exhaustion. Now, kind of fitting it in here a little bit. The idea of exhaustion. And what I mean by this is that I've told you many times, if you haven't been stolen from, you're not a good missionary. But let me add something to that. If you're not exhausted, you're not a very good missionary. And what I mean by that true being the hands and feet of Jesus cost us some inconvenience. It cost us some loss. It cost us some time. You know, it's nice to go on a mission trip, put some pictures on Facebook, and feel good about ourselves. We went there and we helped for a week. That used to aggravate me. Not that I think a mission trip is good, and we're going to be taking one, and I'm going to hopefully bring as many of you to Romania as I can and leave you there. No, just kidding. Kids need to go on a mission trip. They need to go out and see the realities of life. But it also takes being involved all the time. We can't be in the hands and feet of Jesus, not just to occasionally do a few good works so we feel good. When I talk about exhaustion, Paul said this in 2 Corinthians, always caring about the body of the dying Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. Paul was always talking about dying, stretched out beyond measure. And if you read in 2 Corinthians, all the trials and persecutions and beatings, everything he went through. There's a passage in the book of Acts that he was stoned. They thought he was dead, and they went to, you know, give him a little kick. And he got up and he said, let's go to the next town and preach the gospel. You know what we are today? We're soft. We are. We're soft. You know who's exhausted on Wednesday night? All of those that are working with the kids. To some of you, oh, that looks fun. Now it is. There's a great satisfaction and there's a great joy knowing that we're seeing kids come and love Jesus and getting something that they're not getting, and to see people learn about Jesus and to hear the testimonies. It is a tremendous blessing, but it also is a tremendous amount of work. Not just physically, but spiritually and mentally. So when we talk about being the hands and feet of Jesus, it's also something that's exhausting. It takes time. This week, and thank everybody that helped out with Casey and Ryder, she was at the hospital and we were taking care of the kids while Ryder was at work. And we had the kids over our house two or three nights. And my kids were tremendous helping out. But it's like we have to watch cartoons. We're not going to watch anything else. It's an investment. It takes time. It takes effort. But that's what it means to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And then finally, why we're doing it, exaltation. What does he say? Then the king will say unto those on his right, come, you are blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So, what is more blessed than inherit the kingdom? Let's come and inherit the kingdom. Is a house more worth it? Is a car more worth it? Is being praised by people more worth it? What is worth more than to inherit the eternal kingdom, where we're going to live forever and ever with Jesus? This is why we do it. We don't think about how much it costs. What we think about is, we're doing this for Jesus, for eternity, for all he has done for us, for dying on the cross for us, for giving us eternal life by grace, unmerited, without any conditions for us. He has shown us this great grace. And when he comes back, he's saying, come and inherit the kingdom. Now, I've been to a few places in this world, but I don't think any place I've ever been is going to be more awesome to live in than the kingdom of God. And you may be struggling, and you may, I know times are difficult, and we live in this materialistic society, and everything's going up, and everything's more expensive, and we're struggling more and more. But remember, the struggle will be over soon. We get to the kingdom. So we need to be the hands and feet of Jesus. That's what it's about. So the challenge for us, the challenge is to spend ourselves for the kingdom of God. To spend ourselves for the kingdom of God. Now, there's a balance. Jesus went out to the wilderness and prayed. There's time for rest. We understand that. So don't go and, stay up 24 hours reading your Bible. You do need to sleep. But there's rest in doing the work of God. There really is. So there's two ways that we're challenging. Now, we're challenging, this month, we're challenging you with giving, of course. That's the first challenge. And I said a few weeks ago, if you're spending more for cable TV than you're giving to missions, and I want to add to that, this, now, please don't misunderstand me. I grew up with pets. We always had pets in our family. We would have pets probably now if it wasn't for my wife's asthma. I love cute dogs and cute cats and all that. But last year in our country, we spent $124 billion on our pets. So I guess I would add to that, if you spend more money on dog food than you do giving to missions, if you spend more money going out to eat than giving to missions, think about it. On entertainment, vacations, I'm not saying don't do any of those things. I'm not saying anything that are bad. I'm just asking you to evaluate because we say, well, I can't. You spend more money on lattes than giving to missions. I mean, what are they, $28 for a latte nowadays? I got advice to you. Just get a bag of sugar and some milk. You could probably make, like, I don't know, 30 lattes with that. The idea is we're investing in eternity. The idea is, what are we going to do when the accountant comes? And Jesus has some expectations for us. But then the real challenge is not so much money. That's not the real challenge. The real challenge is, are we going to be the hands and feet of Jesus? Are we going to be the hands and feet of Jesus? Are we going to spend ourselves ministering to others? So this is an encouragement and a challenge. Encouragement to those that are already ministering, and a challenge specifically. One of the needs we have, especially next year as we continue our Wednesday night ministry. And I'll be honest with you, I was not expecting a Wednesday night ministry to grow so much. But we have a lot of young people with needs. And you know what they need? They don't need money. They don't need things. They need somebody to invest in them. They need somebody to say, all right, you're in my class. Next week, we're going for a hike. Come over to my house for pizza. Let's go to the gym and play basketball. We need people that will invest in the lives of these people. That will spend, probably I could say, being the hands and feet of Jesus might be time. I-M-E. And part of it might be, you say, well, we have my family. Well, maybe bring alongside your family. Maybe show your family that they have it pretty good. And bring some people in that are struggling. And like I say, it's usually not financial. It's usually not financial. When a kid comes to Awana or a teen group and he misbehaves, It's not because he doesn't have food. Because he thinks nobody cares. He thinks nobody loves him. And if somebody would be the hands and feet of Jesus. And I think back to how annoying it was to get those knocks on the window. And then somebody writes years later and said, I learned Jesus from you. That's the kingdom. That's what the kingdom is about. Here's one of the people that worked with us in Romania, Genna and Jenny. That's Robert and Jessica. And they're from the Ukraine, actually. And she got saved through the student ministry. And they worked at our ministry in Berdowince for years. Just a great couple. He actually was... Him and I were the only ones that would go and do the drop ceiling at the church, if you want to go to the next slide. And Genna was always building something and doing something. He wasn't like a person that would speak. He wasn't a speaker. He never spoke at church. He was very quiet, but very steady and involved and loved the ministry. Even when I talked to him this week, and he's, you know, conversation is not long with him. But now, let's get the next picture. That's a couple of years before COVID when we went to visit him in Milan. They ended up moving to Italy, but their son, Robert, is actually in Lake Placid right now with the Italian bobsledding team. And they're doing practicing. We're going to try to get up and see him this week, but we were all sick. And then his daughter Jessica told me that she was accepted to 4 colleges, have top grades in her school. And they're involved in church. It was cool when we were there speaking in the Italian church. They're in Milan. But here's a family just steady. They weren't evangelists and preachers, but they were steady, involved in the ministry and still involved in the ministry, working, struggling, and God's doing a great thing through their kids who are still serving the Lord. The challenge for us is to look at the kingdom. That's the challenge. That's the challenge. To get our mind off of the politics, to get our mind off of TikTok, to get our mind off of the next serial on TV, to get our mind off the newest car, to get our mind off all these things and get our mind on the kingdom. Because when the king comes, boy, we're going to have a different perspective. Different perspective. Let's stand. Lord, we thank you for this time this morning, and we thank you for your goodness. Lord, help us to be your hands and feet. Help us to understand that all of us can have a part. Not everybody has to be a missionary or a preacher or even a Sunday school teacher. But we can give a cup of cold water. We can give a coffee. We can give some food. We can give some time. We can get involved. Lord, may it be said of us as a church that we won't be known for, you know, the building or the numbers or the music, but people will say that church cares. They care. And we know how controversial the message is and the gospel and everything going on, but we know, Lord, you said to us, visit the sick, visit the prisoners, clothe the naked, feed the poor, give a drink in my name. It'll change the hearts, it'll change people.